Today we're building a smoky warehouse impact lab inside Ableton Lev 12 for old school jungle and DNB, and I want you to think of this less like a single effect chain, and more like a transition instrument, something you can actually play, reshape, resample and reuse across your whole track. The vibe we're aiming for is not shiny, not cinematic, not EDM polished. We want pressure, grit, movement, and that feeling like the room is filling with smoke right before the drop lands. In jungle and drum and bass, transitions matter a lot because the genre moves so fast. If your build into the drop is weak, even a great bassline can feel less exciting than it should. So this lesson is all about making the energy feel inevitable. We're going to build one flexible impact chain that can do a few jobs at once. It'll give you a dark riser, a bit of sump pressure, some breakbeat tension, a reverse swell, and a short impact hit that punches the drop open without clogging the mix. Then we'll print it to audio so you can edit it like part of the arrangement instead of leaving it as an endless tweaky rack. Let's start by creating a dedicated group track and naming it Impact Lab. Keep this separate from your main drums and bass, but close enough that you can hear how it interacts with the groove. That matters, because this thing is supposed to work in context, not just sound huge on its own. Now sketch out a 4-bar or 8-bar transition zone before a drop. For old school jungle, a strong template is something like filtered break and atmosphere for the first part, then more riser tension and drum edits in the middle, and then a final impact hit and reverse tail right before the drop hits. This is important. In DNB, the transition should feel rhythmically connected to the drums, not like some random FX layer sitting on top. For the core riser, load up Waveeatable or Operator. Waveeatable is great if you want something clean and flexible. Operator is nice if you want a rougher, more metallic climb. If you're using Waveeatable, start simple. Use a sine or basic wave on oscillator 1. Keep the unison narrow or leave it off if it starts getting too glossy, and automate a pitch rise of around 7 to 12 semitones over 1 to 2 bars. Then add a low-pass filter that starts somewhere around 200 to 600 Hz and opens toward the drop. If you use Operator, keep the source simple there too. A pure sine carrier with just a little extra bite from another operator is enough. The whole point is to let the processing do the work. That's very old school friendly. The source doesn't need to be fancy if the movement is strong. Next, add auto filter after the synth. This is where the riser starts to feel like it's opening up inside a warehouse system. Try a low pass 24 or a band pass filter. A band pass sweep is especially good if you want that hollow, smoky, underground feel. Set the cutoff to start low, maybe around 150 to 400 Hz, and automate it up into the high end, maybe 8 to 14 kHz, by the end. Add a bit of resonance, but don't overcook it unless you want a whistly effect. A little drive can also help it feel dirtier and more physical. Here's a teacher tip. Don't automate the filter in a perfectly straight line. That usually feels too obvious. Start slower, then let it accelerate in the last quarter of the build, and give it a tiny final push right before the hit. That's the kind of movement that makes a transition feel intentional instead of generic. Now let's add texture. This is where the smoky part really comes alive. You can use noise from analog, a bright tone from operator, a short vinyl hiss sample, room tone, or even a tiny resampled break fragment with the low end removed. The key is to keep this layer wide but quiet. It should live above the drums, not fight the kick and bass. Process that texture with a Q8. High passing it somewhere around 300 to 800 Hz, depending on the source. Then use auto filter to slowly open it up, saturator to add a little drive, and maybe echo or hybrid reverb for depth. If the track is jungle based, a bit of break noise is often more authentic than pure white noise. It feels like it belongs to the drum language of the track. Now for the impact itself. This is the most important part, because the best DNB impacts usually combine high-frequency transient energy with low-end weight. So create a new audio track, and resample 1 to 2 bars of your transition source. Then find a strong moment right before the drop, chop it down, and simplify it into a short hit. You can layer that with a kick tail, a tom, a metal clang, a broken amen snare stab, or a short sub pulse. On the impact chain, use a Q8 to clean up any mud around 200 to 500 Hz if needed. Add a little saturator for density, then drum bus if you want extra weight and transient control. Be careful with boom, though. Use it modestly so you don't turn the low end into mush. If you need a limiter, use it just to catch peaks, not crush the life out of the hit. And this is a big one. Keep the impact short. In DNB, a huge hit that rings too long can steal space from the first beat of the drop. You want the impact to mark the arrival, not smother it. Sometimes a smaller pre-drop cue actually makes the real downbeat feel much harder. That's one of those counterintuitive production tricks that really pays off. Now let's add the reverse tail, echo, and reverb elements that create that last-second vacuum effect. Duplicate your impact or a break fragment, reverse it, fade it in, and high-pass it so the low end doesn't smear across the drop. Then set up a dark warehouse reverb on a return track with a bit of pre-delay, a decay that fits the tempo, and high and low cuts so it stays deep and controlled. You want space, but not shiny space. Fake concrete room, not cathedral sparkle. For echo, keep the repeats filtered and low in the mix. Maybe 1/8 or dotted quarter note timing, with feedback low to moderate. The echo should feel like a ghost trailing behind the move, not a lead sound. That little dubby tail can make the drop feel way bigger, because the listener hears the room collapse right before the groove returns. Now we get to automation, and this is where things start feeling really professional. Automate utility width so the riser can open up slightly during the build, then collapse back toward the drop. That contrast helps the downbeat feel bigger. You can also automate track volume for a small lift into the final beat, followed by a tiny dip right before the drop if the arrangement benefits from that tension. And if you want the transition to breathe properly, automate the reverb dry/wet upward through the build, then cut it back at the drop so the groove snaps into focus. A nice advanced move is to slightly narrow the stereo image in the final half beat before the drop. It's subtle, but the result is huge. The drop feels wider because the transition just got out of the way. You can also experiment with a micro silence, even just a few milliseconds, right before the first kick or snare. That tiny gap can make the hit feel massive. Now place all of this in a real arrangement. A classic old-school jungle setup might be 8 bars of chopped break and filtered bass, then the riser and texture come in around bars 5 or 6, then a snare roll or break fill at bar 7, and then the final hit and reverse tail on bar 8, before the drop lands. You can also make it more authentic by using a 1-bar break edit instead of relying only on synth effects. A snare flam, a ghost note roll, or a short vocal stab can all help the transition feel like it's part of the drum programming rather than pasted on top. And that's really the core idea here. In jungle and DNB, the best transitions often borrow from the rhythm DNA of the break. They feel like the drums are being stretched, fractured, and reassembled right before the drop. Once the chain feels right, print it to audio. Freeze it, flatten it, or resample it. This is a huge workflow upgrade. Now you can chop the tail precisely, pitch the impact up or down, reverse tiny bits, or build a little library of one-shots for later in the project. After printing, try making a few alternate versions, one with the full chain, one with just the top texture, one with only the impact, and maybe one with more room and reverb. That gives you collage material you can use all over the arrangement. A few common mistakes to watch out for here. Don't make the riser too bright too early. Keep the first half dark and narrow so the brightness arrives later. Don't let the impact overlap the drop too much. If it's still hanging around when the first kick lands, it's probably too long. Don't load too much sub into the riser layer either. Reserve the real low-end weight for the actual hit or the drop entry, and don't overlimit the whole thing. Saturation and good bus control usually sound better than just smashing it flat. If you want to push this even further into darker DNB territory, try a bandpass filter on the riser for a hollow underground tone, or layer a resampled amen slice under the impact to give it more authenticity. You can also use drum bus with care to add weight, or utility to automate width bloom during the build and collapse the center right before the drop for a more broken, rave-leaning feel, add a short distorted noise burst before the hit and then filter it hard. That can make the whole system feel like it's straining right before release. Here's a good practice challenge. Build 3 different transition versions using the same source material. One version should be pure riser, with synth tone, filter sweep, and noise. One should be break-driven, using a chopped amen or drum fragment as the main motion source. And one should be heavy warehouse, with a low-pressure layer, bandpass riser, and a clipped impact. Then compare them in context with the drop. Ask yourself which one gives the most tension, which one leaves the cleanest space for the kick and bass, and which one feels most like old-school jungle instead of generic EDM. Pick the best one, print it to audio, and save it as a reusable transition clip. So to recap, build your impact as a system, not just a sound. In DNB, the strongest transitions combine riser, texture, break rhythm, and impact. Keep the low end clean, let the space do some of the work. Use Ableton's stock devices to shape the motion and print the result to audio so you can arrange quickly and stay creative. For smoky warehouse vibes, the goal is darkness, pressure, and rhythmic tension. If it feels like smoke in the room, strobe lights warming up, and the break about to slam back in, you're on the right track. All right, now let's get into your session and build the first version of that Impact Lab.